Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Anybody need them? The question from our listener is, what do you do when you don't know what to do and you have to do something?
You know, it really depends upon the situation. You know, sometimes you have enough time to pray and ask God for wisdom, because the Bible says that if you don't know what to do, if you lack wisdom, ask of me. And he said, I will give it unto you. So I guess it's the time when you ask that you listen from the answer from God and go forth in that answer. But whatever you do, don't quit.
Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you for your question.
We're going to read from Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own mind.
And out of the Message translation, those same three verses reads like this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls.
I like that particular scripture where it talks about at the end, it says to, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And when I think about that, I'm also thinking about what Christ went through. But, you know, we also are supposed to rehearse our victories. And when we look back over the things that God has done for us, that should give us a shot of adrenaline. That should tell us that God is still working in us and allow us to know that he has not failed us, that he's still with us.
And you know, that's what the scripture tells us to do when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you go back over the victories in the story of Christ line by line and in painstaking detail, you are rehearsing and putting faith in you. Every time we testify one to the other about the goodness of God and it's lined up with the word of God, we are speaking faith into one another. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, when we play sports and do other other kinds of activities, and they give out awards and mm-hmm. trophies. When you go to college, you get degrees. When you go to high school, you get a diploma. And you post those things on your walls, those trophies, those degrees, those diplomas. That's so that later on, you and others can go by, look at the wall of your accomplishments, and rehearse the what you have done. And every time you rehearse it, it should put in you that encouragement and remembrance of what you have accomplished. So it is with the Word of God. When we go back over the fact that Jesus was in the wilderness tempted of the devil, but he defeated the devil by speaking the Word of God. When we see how he endured the shame of the cross and he did not get riled up by those who hated him and spat on him, it puts confidence and faith and hope in us that we likewise can endure because we have not yet resisted unto blood. So when you rehearse the story line by line, item by item, going through it in detail, it puts confidence and faith in you. Just recall to mind the goodness of the Lord, and I promise you, you will have hope.
You sure will. And that is a promise that God has given us, is that if we think on the things which God has done for us, when we think about those things, we are sure to come through that present situation. The Bible says now faith is. And so it's saying in the moment, in the now, begin to start thinking about what God has done for you, and your faith will begin to rise up and believe that he will do what he said he would do.
Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes you just got to press your way. He didn't say it was easy. He didn't say it would be fun every day. And they used to say it like this in church. Every day is not going to be Sunday, but it's going to be worth it all. If you press on toward the mark, there is a prize that God has laid up for you. There is a trophy. As a matter of fact, you are God's trophy, but there is a trophy that he will give you for pressing through, even through difficult situations. God will flip this thing, and your latter end will be greater than your former. So one thing you can remember is that this test will build your character and faith in God.
You are absolutely right. The test will build your character and faith in God. James says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. It says, let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed and not deficient in any way. And I know when I read this, I'm looking at it and it's saying, you know, to endure the hardness. Don't, you know, feel pressure. Endure it with patience. Be steadfast in what you're doing. And we all know that we've come to those points when that seems to be so hard to do. But in it, it does prepare you. It does shape your character. I remember one time I had, it seems as though there was things going wrong in my life, one after another. And what came out of my mouth was this. I said, this is strange. And immediately the Lord brought the scripture back. Think it not strange when you're faced with fiery trials. Basically what he's saying, that in it, it will give you patience. And so with those scriptures, God is showing you that going through these trials that seem to be so difficult is that he's developing your character, that you will be able to endure, and that you will be that person that he's called you to be.
There are pressure points in life when each of us, it feels like you're in that pressure cooker and the steam is boiling to the top and you have taken about all that you can take and you're at your wit's end. And what is it that you are going to do? But I tell you that if you think back and you're honest about the things that have occurred in your life, that today is the day that you worried about last month and last year and last week that you didn't think you'd ever see. But now you're here and you made it and everything is better than it was before. So what I'm saying is just endure it. Sometimes you just got to strap yourself in and endure the pressure and get through it. Believe God and take him at his word and watch what he'll do. I mean, these are the things that you never thought you'd get through. You never thought you'd make it. You thought you'd be utterly consumed and destroyed.
but he brought you through. He brought you through many times. So why do you think every time we hit a fork in a road that we think this one's going to destroy us? It hasn't destroyed you yet. And God has promised that it won't in the future, because God does not allow any more to come upon you than what you are able to deal with. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there has no temptation taken you. Nothing has ever come upon you. He has never allowed anything in your life, but such as what others have gone through and been successful coming out of. And God is faithful. He will not suffer you or allow you to be tried above what you are able to endure. And when you go through, God always has your escape route planned. He always has your victory laid out, and he's not figuring it out while you're in it, but this was before the foundations of the world were laid. And if you're honest, you know, when you look back over your life and see all the things God's brought you through, he's done it for you so many times before. He's never failed you. He's never come short. He's always delivered you, and he's brought you to a point that you never thought you'd see, even where you are today.
I like that scripture. It says he will not let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. And we know we go through situations when we think, well, we're just not going to be able to go through this, that this is one of those tests that I'm just going to set down. I can't go no further, and please don't ask me to do it. But God is saying to you now that he is able to carry you through. A lot of times it's because we in our flesh are trying to work out the situation in our own thoughts and in our own mind. We're trying to do the things that we used to do when the situation came, and now what you did back then is not going to work at this time. There's something else that God wants you to do in order to conquer this situation. You know, a lot of times we just keep going along the same way. We think in order to face the enemy head on, we got to do the same thing over and over again. But God is showing us a different way of doing things. He's telling us even that when we find ourselves in these situations, he said, don't give up. He says, just ask me for a way of escape. But what we do many a times, you know, we fail to ask God. There's nothing wrong with asking God.
Amen.
God, where is the door? Where is the
Amen.
Way of escape? We fail to do that when you're being tempted and you're in situations where your flesh may be rising up. Ask God, where is the door? You know, sometimes when you're around family and there's an argument that comes up, then sometimes you just get up and you walk out the room because you say, I don't want to deal with that stuff. But that's what God is saying. There is a door that he will provide. If you ask God, where is the way of escape, and that he will provide it for you. You got to look for that way of escape. You got to be able to see it in order to walk out of that situation. When you are in these situations, just look for the door. He said, I'm going to provide the way of escape. You are never cornered.
Hallelujah.
You're never sitting there without a way out. And that's what he's saying. There is a way of escape that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently.
You're in good company. If anyone has been living in Christ and they tell you they never contemplated quitting, they're not telling you the truth. You're in good company. Even the strongest of the strong have contemplated quitting. If you think about in the scriptures, Elijah, remember Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal, calling down fire from heaven, watching God do the miraculous. Even Elijah, the great man of God, he found himself running for his life, sad and depressed and wanting to quit and give up and wondering why he felt God had forsaken him.
Mm-hmm.
Even Elijah, Jeremiah, the great prophet, I mean, one who said, I wish that my head were a fountain and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night continually for the slain of my people. Even he once went into a corner and said, God, I quit. I don't want to preach to this stiff-necked people. They're not going to listen and heed the word. Even he tried to quit, but the good news is God has always been there with them, and he's there with you too. And God will be there when you are at your lowest point to encourage you, to pick you up, and to tell you, don't quit. Don't let go. Keep on holding on.
You know what? Even in thinking about, you know, you have to think about your own experiences, and you have to realize, and like you said before, we all have gone through these situations, and even one just recently of just went through, when you're hearing,
like last week or something.
Yeah. There are days like that. I mean, all the things that you're seeing on the news and that you're hearing, the people talking about, and things that the injustice that seems like is going on in the world, you begin to get burdened down, and you've been praying, you know, like the song Donnie McClurkin sing, you know, you prayed and you cried, you prayed and you cried. He says, but stand. And so you're saying, Lord, what's the use of praying if this is going to happen or if that's going to happen? Your prayers have not gone unanswered. He said, every word that you prayed in regard to this situation, I have heard and I'm going to answer. And you know what? He told me this. He said, there is a shift that is coming. Hold on and don't give up. There is a shift that's getting ready to happen in your life. And I'm speaking that even to those who are hearing this broadcast. Don't give up. Don't quit. I know things look bad, but there is a shift. There's a breakthrough that's getting ready to happen in your life. And you're going to see the things that you've gone through. You're going to see why you had to go through what you went through. You're going to see why you had to build up those spiritual muscles and why you had to endure and be steadfast. You're getting ready to see why you had to go through what you went through, because there's a shift coming. That means the veil is about ready to be lifted off of the situation. And he said, what you're looking at is not what it appeared to be. He said, but when that shift comes, you will see the realness. You'll see the truth. You'll see why you had to go through this, and it's going to be all right. You're going to say, listen, if I had to quit when I wanted to quit, I wouldn't have never been able to see what I'm seeing now. So I'm telling you to hold on and don't quit. God is about ready to remove the veil, and you will see the reason why you had to go through this situation, and you will begin to praise God that you hung on. Hold on, don't quit.
Don't give up. Stay in the fire. Trust and believe with all your might, and when you feel all hope is gone, that's when you must press on. For I wouldn't give you anything that I know you couldn't have.
Quit. God knows what you're going through, and God has your breakthrough. It's just a matter of time. You got to wait this thing out. You got to hold on. I mean, your change is coming. You know, some of you, you go to a job, you know you get paid on Friday. You know you get paid on the 15th. You know you get paid on the 31st. And you might be running out of money, but you keep on holding on, because the 15th is coming. The 31st is coming. This Friday's on its way. And you keep holding on, because you know, and just as sure as you know Friday's coming, you know you will get paid. You've never not gotten paid, so you have no reason to doubt it. Well, I'm telling you, you have no reason to doubt. God is more sure than your employer. God is more faithful than the bank that you withdraw your money from. God is God, and he will do what he said. You need to hold on and know that the best is yet to come. Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the sufferings that you're going through, the trials that you're enduring, the pain that you're dealing with, they're not worthy to be even compared or mentioned in the same sentence with the glory that God will reveal in us. So all you got to do is hold on and trust that the best is yet to come.
There's a saying that when a person is standing waiting on something to happen, it says that they're waiting with bated breath, meaning that you are standing there and you're expecting something to happen. I mean, you're just eager to know that this, what you've been praying for, the promises of God, to know that he is about ready to pour forth on that promise that he has given you. That's waiting with bated breath. I mean, you're holding your breath and you're barely breathing because you're expecting, you're as excited because you know that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. When you read Romans 8:18, the first thing that came to my mind was when God says, I am faithful. In his word, he says, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I shall repent. He said, but if I said it, I'm going to do it. And in another part, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. And you know what? God is saying even right now that the best is yet to come. That thing that you're waiting on, that pressure that you're feeling, that point where you feel that you're about ready to give up. God said, don't give up. He said, remember that I am faithful. I never tell you I'm going to do something and it doesn't happen. But what we have to do is to gird up our loins and begin to be patient and to be steadfast and unmovable and abounding in the things of the Lord. One of the things that we can do is begin to talk to ourselves. In the Bible, it talked about David, where he said that he started to encourage himself in the Lord. And that's when his soldiers were going to stone him. But he said, I encourage myself in the Lord. You have to be mindful of the things that God has done for you in the past. It could be yesterday. Just set your mind on those things. You know, sometimes we look at the big things that we forget about the little things that have happened in our lives. Like you heard the baby cry, or you woke up this morning and you're in your right mind, and how the sun was shining after so much rain, and just the little bitty things that God has done. Set your mind on those things. And then watch as it began to go into bigger things, that he's been good. He has been merciful. He has set things in order. He promised that he'll never leave me, nor will he forsake me. That he has said in my life that you're the head and not the tail. And if you feel overburdened because you're in debt, remember that God says, if you just asked of me, he said, I'll give you wisdom. And you can be mindful that whatever you asked of him, he will do. I know there is someone that is feeling pressured because you have a lack of money. The debts are building up and piling up, and you're just feeling a lot of pressure with that. Just be encouraged today. Ask God, how do I do this thing? And he will give you the answer and the instructions on what to do.
And remember, Jesus is your great example. Look unto him. He has been through this, made it through, and Jesus has set an example for you. And we have a great cloud of witnesses, people watching us from heaven, cheering for you to win, rooting for your victory. And they that root for you are more numerous than they that root against you. So be encouraged and know that God wants you to win. And if you stay in Christ, your victory is guaranteed. No matter what the test, God will see you through. Do you see what this all means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans who cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never, never quit.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word, for we know that it will not fall upon stony ground, but that God, that it would be planted in the hearts of your people, Father, and it will take root and bloom, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to be mindful, oh Father, that even though we're facing pressure, trouble, disappointments, oh Father God, that you're still yet with us, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that you're yet letting us know that we have to depend upon you, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh Father, help us to hear you in the now, in the moment, Father, in the name of Jesus. For your word says, now faith is. So right now, as we need, dear Father, your answer, right now we need to hear a word from you. Right now, dear Father, rise up in us and cause our enemies to be scattered in the name of Jesus Christ. Your word says to hold on and don't quit. Father, I pray for those, dear Father God, that have placed their hands to the plow, Father, and are now contemplating looking back. But you said, don't do it, oh God, but to put your hands to the plow and keep moving forward, to have this confidence in you that you will do what you say you will do. And Father, I pray that even if they have to just weep some time, your word says that you will wipe away all tears.
Dear God, we thank you, Father, because you, Father, have promised to take all of our despair and all of our anguish and all of our desperation. And you promise, God, that you take that and you give us hope and you put a song in us. So I pray, dear God, that every single one that is at the point of breaking, that you would exchange, Father, their spirit of heaviness for the garments of praise, that you, Father, would give them a mind to hold on and be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God. I pray, God, that you, Father, would take the fatigued and the weary and you put strength in them. I pray that you would take the broken and the battered lives and you would put them back together again. May you breathe into them the breath of life and give them hope to hope against hope. And let them know, God, that there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for you. May this be their testimony that they pressed on, believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and you brought them out. God, we thank you that this time next week that they'll be able to say, I didn't think I could make it, but God has done this thing for me. That they will be the testimony that someone else needs to get through their dilemma. We glorify you and we thank you and we praise you and we applaud you. There is no God like Jehovah, no king like the Lord. May you cause our enemies to stumble and to fall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, go to sleep. Just go to sleep. You know, there are times when you just rest your mind, when you just lay down on a bed or on your couch, fall asleep. That's when God will begin to speak into your ear. When you wake up, you would have the instructions on what to do about your situations. If you do this, if you adhere to the word of God that says go to sleep, the way that you go down won't be the way that you wake up.
Hallelujah.
You will wake up refreshed, or you will wake up and say, I heard
the word of the Lord. America. Land that I love.
What do you know about the Constitution of the United States of America?
Is the Constitution still relevant?
Does it align with the Word of God?
Why should we care?
It is not about the donkey. It is not about the elephant. It is about the Lamb.
Stay tuned for more information regarding the date and location of our next Biblical Foundation of the Constitution presentation. It will be in Columbus, Ohio, and we want to see you there.
Thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.